Amen. Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Yes, we're getting there. Thank you so much for being here. My name is OJ Otto Javier, if you want to practice your Spanish. If this is your first time at Grace Bible Church Midtown Campus, bienvenidos, welcome. And we're, yes, as you just probably saw, you know, we're opening a new series, and I have the privilege of sharing the word this and next Sunday, so bear with me. And if you wanna, if you're coming back next week, know this: the best part of me, my wife, she'll be back from Guatemala, and so you'll get to meet her, and we're gonna have fun. Okay, so I'm so excited for this new series. Just because I feel how the Lord is leading our whole church to speak about the book of Acts. And I don't know how many of you love the book of Acts, but I really enjoy to read and to see what the Lord has done through history. And this is the book of Acts is not an end. It's the beginning of our story. And so if you wanna practice some Spanish, let's say together, buenas noticias. Okay, there you go. You are 0.00001% bilingual this morning, so we're getting there. Buenas noticias, good news. As I was praying, I call this sermon From Ascension to Action. Because we actually get to see on the book of Acts, just having a little overview, we get to see a continuation of the book of Luke. If during these days we will find, you know, the first ever, you know, Luke manuscript, and you find it around, you will read it, and it'll be so exciting, right, to find the original manuscript and then read it. But then it feels like there's something that is that needs to continue. The book of Acts is a sequel, okay? I don't know how many of you love sequels. I'm excited for some sequels that are coming. Some other need to, I mean, stop at Disney, you know, please. But Acts is a sequel of the book of Luke, and what a great sequel. It's continuing with the story of God's people, and then after Jesus ascends into heaven. This book was written around the year 80, and for me, one of the facts that is incredible is it was addressed to the Gentiles, specifically to a person named Theophilus. And so whenever we're going to invite you to read Acts, we're going to be getting into enjoy the book of Acts. And you're going to see events, miracles, conversations, challenges, even persecution, conflict. It looked very similar to today, right? But we also are going to learn, you know, how to follow the Lord in a world that many times seems that it doesn't welcome us, okay? So if you see the book of Acts, remember this. In many ways, it's our story. We, in these days, we also struggle on how to live faithfully to Jesus in our daily lives. And so be encouraged by this new series, and let's just prepare, okay? Remember this, the book of Acts is a book of firsts. So when you go through it, in so many ways, we feel related with what's happening in this book. We're launching some new ministries. This is still a church plant. We have a lot of construction, you know, outside. So it feels like we prepare, you know, everything for this new series. Amen. How many of us are excited? I'm excited. Okay. So before, you know, we really begin, I will give you some spoilers, okay? I don't know how many of you enjoy the Olympics. How many of here we love to watch the Olympics, okay? Yes, we love to watch the Olympics. There's so many great events. I'm from Guatemala, okay? You probably figure out that I'm not from Texas already. I consider myself an Aggie in law because my wife is doing a PhD. And so that kind of covers me a little bit, you know, because she's doing so much that it kind of falls a little bit on me. At least I make her the coffee, okay? But out of kind of like everything, you know, every event that happened, one of the most exciting ones was the 4x100 relay race. And I don't know if you saw this, but this woman, she was the one crossing the finish line, Sha'Carri Richards. It was a very exciting race. We'll actually get to see later in a little bit, but she won the gold, okay? If you see that picture, you will see her just like winning the gold medal, but that's not it. This is the spoiler. She crossed the line and she won the gold medal. Keep that in mind. We're gonna come back to it. But this is the spoiler alert. We're actually gonna read the end of the book of Acts. Okay? So remember, we're opening, but we're gonna read the end. Now, Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness. Can you help me to read that word? On? Thank you. Okay, let me pray. Lord, thank you for our time together and because you allow us to just remember, Lord, that as you've been with the church since the very beginning, you are with us this morning. In your name we pray, Jesus, amen. So I want you to drink on, it's very simple, okay? Drink on 3 P's, okay? We're gonna think on just 3 P's, not three-peat, but 3 P's, okay? Preparation, purpose, and power, okay? You wanna read it in Spanish to gain another 0.2%? Okay, preparación, Now together, propósito, and then this one has to be like, you know? Poder. Roll the R, poder. There's a lot of R's there, so thank you. Hey, 0.0 points, you know, 2% more, okay? So if you can come with me, we're gonna go actually to the book of Acts. Let's go back to the beginning, okay? The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chose. Let's continue. To those, he also presented himself alive during after his sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God, gathering them together, he commanded not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which he said, you have heard of me. Now, this is the moment that Jesus is about, or he has sent, and now, I don't know about you, but waiting is not fun. How many of you love waiting? I do not love waiting. Right now, you have to wait for everything, right? It's the season. If you have a favorite restaurant, you'll be waiting in line for at least 30 minutes if you don't put your reservation online, right? If you're driving around 2018, I know the names, numbers, or University Drive, at 5 p.m., you're gonna wait a little bit. And so, waiting, you know, it's not something that we really enjoy, but this waiting was actually with an expectation. They were called to preparation. The preparation was just kind of hard, but this story of the book of Acts is about God's people. And Jesus is instructing the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 19, verse 11 says, "Now while they were listening to this thing, Jesus went on to tell to a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately." When you think about the kingdom of God, you know, sometimes we're thinking on imposing things. And during this time, people were just expecting for something like physical or something to happen. But when you think on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is cosmic, you know. In Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." The kingdom is earthly. We can actually have a connection with the Lord here. The Lord's Prayer is an example. When it says, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom of God is redemptive. We can find this in Luke 24, 44. And when we talk about the gospel, the death, the resurrection, the fact that God has worked and is working and will work and redeem his people and all the creation. When we see the kingdom of God is the future. If you see in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, there were promises that were made to Israel, but it's also through Israel to all the nations. And the kingdom is a mystery. The disciples and many in this time were expecting the kingdom to crush the political realms, you know, in this time. But no, it has no, it's no national, it's no political, it's not obvious. So when we think on the kingdom of God, it goes beyond what we currently have. And we can be very limited to our perspective today. We're called to have a purpose. Remember, God has a vision for us as his church. God has something for us today. But we have a call in this time, in this season, to build into what others will enjoy. So we're not just called to be the church for us to enjoy during this time and then, you know, that's it. No, we're not inward. We're always outward. We're always looking at the greater picture. And Jesus gave his disciples a clear purpose. Let's actually go into Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 6. "So when they had come together to begin asking him, saying, 'Lord, is this the time that you restore the kingdom of Israel?' But he says to them, 'It is not for you to know periods of time or appointed times which the Father has set with his own authority.'" We're called to be witness. We're called to understand that we have a responsibility with others. They were expecting something to happen, and often we're wanting to be part of the book, but we love the conclusions, you know? We love the ends. We love when it has a great momentum, and then that's it. But the Lord was establishing something for us to be part of so God's people can be saved, so others and us can talk about what we have seen, heard, and experienced. It's important for us to understand that our purpose goes beyond what we can see today. They were having a narrow vision. They were having a very narrow vision of what it could happen. And this is part of our human nature, right? We want answers now. College students that are in the room, you know, we want to know that the degree that we're taking is going to have a great outcome and we're going to have a great income to provide for our families. But when you think what the Lord has given you, it goes beyond our own benefits. And this is something that that keeps happening in this story. They were asking questions. They were trying to figure out. But the Lord says in verse 7, it is not for you to know periods of time. So church, sometimes we try to define what's our role, you know, in this part of history. And we say, well, I can commit this time to, you know, serving the church, and then the rest, I was gonna say living la vida loca, which I just say, but you're not doing that, okay? Sorry, Goff. Anyways, we try, you know, just to set something, and this is kind of like our tithe, right? As we set 10%, you know, to the Lord of our tithes, we try to do the same with our time. But when we understand that our whole life belongs to the Lord, you just go outside of these walls and you're committed to the kingdom of God. And so in anything that you do, you have the opportunity to be the church for others. And what I love of our church is that we, and many of us, you know, we understand this. And that's why if you're visiting, you will see, you know, like a very vibrant congregation. But this is not just for us. It's not just for this room. It's for us to experience outside and to bring others to get to know Christ. So just keep that in mind. Now, being a witness is not something that is easy. Can I make a little confession / ask if you relate with me on this? Sometimes one of the most difficult challenges that I have is to talk with people. Is to talk with people, right? I mean, you might be like, no, you're lying. No, listen to me. It's easy to talk about weather, okay? It's easy to talk about sports, about the new rivalry in town. It's easy to talk about things that you like. Jason, dark roast, medium roast, light roast. He likes dark roast, I like medium roast. So we relate in some place. It's easy to have conversations, you know, like maybe not shallow, but you know, just to engage on in something that is not deep. One of the most challenging times that I have, and this is me putting myself there, okay, is actually talking others about the gospel. You're preaching, right? The one-on-ones, it always makes me nervous. I'm always like, am I gonna say the right thing? Do I have the right strategy? Do I have the right tools to present the gospel? And I gotta tell you, on my own, I can't. I can't. I'm a kind of like introvert in that sense. And speaking to others about Jesus sometimes is the most difficult thing, because we want to represent well, you know, because we don't want to say the wrong thing, because we're trying, you know, to be a good witness, you know, of what the gospel is. Maybe because, you know, you met someone and you had not the best attitude up front, and then they ask you, what do you do? And then I'm like, I work at church, you know, but you just saw me very mad. So it's probably one of the most difficult things. And I gotta tell you something, as much as I wrestle with this, one of the things that I can rest on is that it's not on my own power, you know, it's not on my own strength. And so this is why I wanna really focus on this. On the power, okay? El poder, dijimos. When we see Acts, sorry, this is the one. Huh. I just jumped to the end. Acts. When you see Acts, and it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and far in the remotest part of the earth. This part, it will make me nervous if I will not depend on who is coming upon us. I gotta tell you, one of the things that I enjoy the most is actually the capacity that we have to abide in the Lord instead of the capacity that we can have of do things by our own. Jesus promised the disciples that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And we have the necessity of relying on the Holy Spirit power in our lives and in everything that we do, rather than do it in our own strength. If you go to Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, this, and it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will have vision. Today we witness baptisms. And for me, that's just such a powerful moment, because it's us giving testimony to others that we decide publicly to follow Jesus. But if you have experienced this, you know that you can't do this on your own. That's why when Jesus ascends, when we see this, we are given with the Holy Spirit. Parakletos, the word means comforter, means the one that is in us, you know. And we get the power, the dunamis, which is explosive. It's like dynamite. In many ways, when you think about the Holy Spirit, I don't know if you have one of those, but my wife loves the heavy blankets. You know what I'm talking about? Those blankets. And I saw that some of you like saw your wives or your loved one, and it's like, I know you love that one. My wife loves her blanket. And those kind of like heavy blanket, they just feel like they cover you, right? And you feel like you are protected, safe, warm. In many ways, the Holy Spirit does this for us in a world that is so hostile, in a world that, you know, is constantly posting and attacking Christians. We have someone who comfort us, who enable us. When we see this, the reality is that we don't have the strength, but because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the comforter. We have the strength. And isn't that amazing? Because that means that anything that the Lord is calling us to do, listen, it's going to be hard. Being a Christian in these days, as back in the days of the early church, it was hard. That we are in a country where we can have, you know, that we can freely share the gospel, that doesn't mean that social media is not trying to cancel us. But the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to be victorious. And so, let me see if I got it right, Stan. Yes. This is what we're seeing today. Next week, we're going to be talking about something different, still in the book of Acts. But it says, and after he said these things, he was left while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was gone, then behold, two men in white clothes stood beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky?" Let me pause there. We're not called to just be at spectators. Church, we have an active role in our calling. We have an active role in the church today, maybe one of the questions that you need to ask yourself is, what is my role? And some of you have stepped into just going above and beyond in serving others. Remember, this is not for our glory. Our names will be forgotten, but the name of Jesus will remain forever. So how can we bring others into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, so they can continue to share with the next generations? The Lord has given us the power. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come. So this is a hope that we have, but it's not our call to be wandering around or wasting time, you know, trying to say, when is he coming back? Is he coming back tomorrow? And try to see what's the next prophecy, you know, when the next purple, orange moon, you know, is going to be, and when is the world is going to end? For sure, that's when Jesus is coming back. So maybe I won't do these things or anything. That's not our call. Our call is not to be looking up. Our call is to look around and bring others to get to know him. So, just remember this. The gospel continues through God's people because God is giving us his power through the Holy Spirit. And so, we're getting close. Again, we're called to be a witness. We're called to, whenever we go out of this room, in whatever you do, sometimes I like to do Uber, you know? Not because, I mean, I like to drive drunk people around, but it's actually a great way to connect with people. And so many connections that I have had through this year has been through that. I don't need to do Uber. I kind of don't like to do Uber. But the Lord can use that. So what do you have around you that you can use for the sake of the gospel to others? So I told you, Stan, I think I'm ready. This is for the stream, okay? I gave you at the very beginning the spoiler alert, right? So we had a gold medal champion, but that's not all the story. So let's actually watch this video. Exciting race, right? I don't know if you see it, but I had the opportunity to see it live. I'm going to buy the worship band. Sorry, I keep doing this. This is very Guatemalan. I'm going to invite the worship band to come, and I just want to highlight some of these items. Okay, the first one is, for me, it's incredible. You know how they were incredibly perfect. That was one of the things that the press, you know, and others highlight. Like, the pass of the baton was on point, okay? That was incredible. I want you to think on this. Sorry, this is a little mess, okay? A triumphant Jesus Christ passed the baton to a triumphant Holy Spirit. Spirit, sorry, that has spirits. We only have one Holy Spirit, okay? We're not doing heresy here. That enabled the church to make triumphant disciples. That has an S, okay? Just saying. You're about to see a lot of AI generated things because I thought we were going to have problems, you know. Welcome to Grace Midtown, by the way. So the baton is given, you know. Jesus Christ, he was on the cross and he ascended to heaven, but he passed the baton in victory, church, in victory, not defeated, to the Holy Spirit, who gives us the baton to us, the church, so we can go and make disciples to all nations. Church, as we are going, we're gonna continue seeing some AI stuff, okay? As we are going, you know, out to the world, we're gonna face persecution, adversity. People are gonna walk away from you as you are presenting yourself as Christians. But remember this, the victory has already been given to us. Amen? And in the midst of everything, the church is gonna continue. Right now, we've been, you know, here for 3 years. It's not about Grace Midtown, because Grace Midtown name will be forgotten. But what the Lord is doing here, seeking, you know, to bring others into his kingdom, the fact that you are gonna get with other people and get to present the gospel, that's gonna last generation from generation. So never underestimate that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and you're called to share the gospel to everyone you can. It's intimidating. It's sometimes, you know, we think on a programmatic mindset. Okay, we're gonna do outreach, and so we'll get together and we'll share three steps, three circles. But the best way to share the gospel is in our daily life. It's going to New Mexico, you know? It's going to those, we have students that are moving to New York City. You're here for a season. Whenever you go out, that's the best place to share the gospel. So this is an invitation to you. First, how can this campus equip you? Listen, it might not be perfect. It might not be what you are expecting, but you get to be part of the firsts. And as we're bringing others and as we're growing, being part of the first has a blessing because we're building towards the next generation. As we are starting college students, college ministry, believe me, you're gonna come and it's gonna be maybe you, me, and what a blessing for you, my wife, and some great leaders that we have. It's a first, but we're building towards the next generations. And then ultimately, many of you are gonna go to different places, and some of you will be called to be pastors, worship leaders, ministers. Allow yourself during this season to learn, taste, and take to the far end of the world. As we look to dwell in the Holy Spirit by the victory in Christ. Sorry, that was the killing line. Spoiler alert. We commit our life to the kingdom. And church, as you already see, you are the plan. The story doesn't end on the book of Acts. It continues. Paul, you know, when we see the last verse, I mean, it doesn't say the end of the story continues to the next chapter. And the Lord is allowing us to be part of his plan and to be part of the church history. Let me pray for you all. And then as we get into a moment of worship and reflection, just ask yourself and ask God to reveal to you, what's my part in your story? And we just have the willingness to do it. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for our congregation. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity of see part of the history of your church as this encourages us to continue the history of the church in our time. Lord, we just give you our life. Just give you our time. Everything that we are, Father, that we can make the decision to be for you. And with that, Lord, that in every instance of our life, we can be witness to others. Thank you, Jesus, for the connections that are going to happen here in this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you are giving us. And as we get to be part of the first in this part of the story of your church, that we're always thinking and investing our life to others. En el nombre de Jesús, amén.